All right, everyone. Even though I'm heavily reminded of Resident Evil, we're playing Pale Carnations. So let's go ahead and get started. It's like I can't even listen to this song without thinking about Resident Evil. Capcom has literally imprinted me with that. I climbed over Rosalind and positioned myself between the waiting woman's leg, presenting her with my cock. I had been painfully hard for a long time, long before Rosalind had stripped nude. By now I was aching for release and the perfect outlet was right in front of me, her eager, drooling quim. Quim, is it? That's a name. Go ahead. Here I... Is something wrong? Nearly unable to resist the temptation of plunging my cock inside Rosalind, my conscience nevertheless gave me a brief moment of pause. Even if this is her idea, she's a woman desperately backed into a corner, just like my mother was. You're sure about this, right? Oh, sweetie, thank you, but we've already come pretty far to be asking that now. There's still time to stop. Does it look like I want to stop? You've got me really fired up right about now. I gave her an unconvinced look. You're a nice kid. The fact that you're even asking proves that. You're better than anyone else I've met at that club, at least. Not like that's a stiff competition. Oh, hush, stop overthinking things and stick that fat dick in me before I do it myself. Well, she asked. I mean, that's consent. How am I to argue with that? With a not-so-gentle shove, I forced Rosalind back down flat on the couch. Okay, here come the Mexican guys. Firmly gripping her calves with my hands, I unceremoniously speared myself to the hilt inside Rosalind's dripping slit. Ah, yes, yes, finally. Why don't you ask for it like a good girl? Please, give it. Without waiting for her to indulge me, I rolled my hips back and began to fuck the slutty mother without restraint. Eh? The look on her face told me she wasn't expecting the sudden violent movement. Combine that with how easy it was to slide in and out of her slavering hole. That's a word. I knew one thing. She was feeling this, no matter the undying circumstances that brought her here. I could confidently put aside any lingering compunctions and fully enjoy myself. Ooh, compunctions. I like that word. Ah, so sudden. Ah, you're being so rough. Tease her with dirty talk or shower her with praise. Use your eyes, not your words. Dirty talk I like. Better brace yourself because I'm not slowing down. That's dirty talk. Sluts don't get a say in how they get fucked. I'm not... I don't know if it's good for her. We can try this. Are we gonna put her down the corruption path? You're not a slut? Could have fooled me with the way you're squeezing down on my cock right now. Not to mention... It just feels so nice. Not to mention you're fucking me for your own gain. That makes you more than just a slut. It also makes you a whore. A paid-for whore. See, you can't even argue against it when your lower half is being honest. All you can do is drool over my cock and say thank you for fucking me. Yes, thank you for fucking me. I don't think I heard you clearly. Say it again. I said thank you for fucking me. Whoops. Rosalind was definitely feeling this kind of treatment. She slipped into the role of obedient whore rather seamlessly. I'm sure part of it was her simply playing to my taste, but she was definitely feeling this kind of dirty talk. I could feel the effect in both the feverish way she moved her hips and the feeling of inner walls squeezing hungrily around my rod. Good girl. That's right. Ah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Isn't there like a song? Thank you. Thank you for fucking me. Good fucking whore. Ah, I'm a whore. I'm a whore. Fuck me like a whore. Grim, I need this. Each thrust was like a tug of war. My cock found no resistance in an act of sheathing itself to the base, but each retraction was a renewed struggle to free myself from the slutty mother's cum-hungry tunnel. I don't know if it's our chemistry or if Rosalind is simply in need of a good dickin', but her cunt is so damn receptive to pleasure. Fucking a woman like Rosalind is a bigger, more twisted rush than I ever could have hoped for. Her loving personality, her present circumstances, it all mingled together to paint an irresistible dichotomy. On one side, the chaste image of a self-sacrificing mother. On the other side, a woman with abundant sexual desire, currently slavishly howling and moving her lips like a senseless animal. Two seemingly contradictory pictures, but shit, when combined, they form one hell of a depraved composite image. Oh, yeah, what? Ah, Fugee! Soon that struggle became even more intense. A sudden intense tightness coupled with a hoarse outpouring of garbled nonsense told me that Rosalind's body had been wracked by a second sudden orgasm. Yeah, I feel so neat. And then another. Rosalind's body once again tensing up and uncoiling itself in pleasure. Gee! Again and again. And with a diminishing return, I fought through Rosalind's back-to-back mini-orgasms, jackhammering my hips with a galvanized intensity. Damn, we're talking about fucking steel right now. I was getting close. I could feel it in my balls. Any sense of higher self was now replaced by a singular fuck-driven urge. I was an animal, voracious and sweating feverishly. There was nothing left. I can write this shit, folks. There was nothing left of the man I once was. An ape stood before me. A ravenous ape pouncing at... I'm feeling so weird right now. Your dick, I can feel it. Ah. You're close, right? Come on, baby, give it to me. It's safe to come inside. I'd like to buy a vowel. By this point, her words were barely reaching me at all. My mind had been voided of anything but my impending release. Well, we don't want to get her pregnant. By this point, I was on autopilot, operating solely on instinct, and my instinct told me I wanted to let Rosalind personally see all the spunk she had worked so hard to get out of me. Yeah, take it, you bitch, I yelled with a fervor. Yeah, there's so much, she squealed. Gripping my dick, I lackadaisically... That's one word I like the word, but I don't like pronouncing it. I lackadaisically pointed it in the general direction of the slutty mother's torso. Spurt and after spurt spattered Rosalind's pale stomach. Not just there either, the intensity and the amount was surprising. Some even made its way to Rosalind's large, heaving breasts. Jeez, that's a lot. You've made an awful mess of me. I'm gonna smell like you all night. Hey, Grim. If it's not too much trouble, would you mind holding me for a minute while I wait for the feeling to return to my legs? She is an older woman. You get to that point where, well, I can't walk. Oh, the old lady stuff happened and now I can't walk. Rosalind hit me with an adorable request. You're a post-coital cuddle kind of gal? I take what I can get. I like a little physical intimacy myself. An oddly comfortable silence came over us for a few moments before Rosalind drew attention to the mess I made of her chest. Ee-hee, there's so much of it and it's so thick. You should take it as a compliment. Rose is so soft and warm, I. I'll just shut my eyes a little bit. I let myself drift off to sleep, enjoying the feeling of having another person beside me as I did. For me, it was a rare occurrence, one I was happy to indulge in. Good night, Grim. Ooh. She left. Couple of hours later, I opened my eyes and found myself alone. I wondered, what had happened? Did she leave any drug paraphernalia next to me? No. And there it was, the tiny bag of coke, propped right next to the... No, that's... We're not getting into that yet. Rosalind had put a blanket over me. Boy, I hope you guys aren't fucking listening to this, because I am really adding a lot of shit that isn't there. You gotta look at the text sometimes, guys. I know sometimes it's hard to see on other platforms, but yeah, it is what it is. Rosalind had put a blanket over me and left a glass of water on the table while I slept. Gah! I slept way longer than I intended, shattering all hope of getting to bed at a decent time tonight. It was most definitely worth it, though. Rosalind is an interesting woman, if difficult to read. I wonder how much of what she showed me tonight was manufactured and how much of it was her honest reaction. The way she was carrying on at the end seemed real, but then again, what the hell do I know? Smarter men than I have fallen prey to the affectations of beautiful women. I can't believe I agreed to help her win the summer exhibition. Well, I did say I would only help her if the opportunity presented itself, but I should probably make a genuine effort in looking for one, huh? Still, doing so might jeopardize my newly minted place at the club. Why did I agree to help her? There's no way around it, is there? She reminded me of my own mother after my father's death. Obviously, the circumstances are different, but she's fighting not only for her own livelihood, but her daughter's as well. It's a situation I can deeply empathize with. Unbeknownst to her, I was actually the perfect mark for her conspiracy. I'm more sentimental than I thought. I should brush my teeth and try to get some more shut-eye. Don't want to fall into poor sleeping habits. Later, as I lay in bed waiting for the curtain to be drawn on my day, my head was oddly devoid of thoughts. Gradually, I feel the weight of sleep begin to wash over me. Fuck. That's probably Ian, considering the time. Yep, that's two for two the past couple of nights. Hey, Doc. Thanks for getting Mina pissed at me. I did conveniently leave out the part where you were eating out a strange woman in my bathroom. You know what? Fair enough. It was me that fucked up here. That's a surprisingly self-cognizant response from you. Still, for future reference, I would have preferred a simple, I don't know if she ever asked you where I am. Thanks for performing my boyfriend duties, by the way. I really mean it. This might seem insincere since I'm the one who forgot about our date, but I'm glad she didn't spend the day alone. Yeah, no problem. Just get a date book or something, yeah? Yeah, maybe I should. Anyway, night, bro. He's such a moron. It took me another day to get back to sleep. It's a good thing I didn't read that wrong as Mormon, because he's definitely the opposite of that. This time I remembered to put my phone on silent. Not silence. We don't say silence. We say, I'm going to put my phone on silent. Now, when you go to a movie theater, it'll say, please silence your phone. But they don't say, put your phone on silence. They usually say, put your phone on silent. Who could that be? Maybe if I ignore it, they'll just go away. There it is again. The irritating, sleep-rending noise known as a doorbell did not stop like I had hoped. Ugh, fuck! I'm coming. It's a bit early, don't you? The person at the door was most definitely not who I expected. Are you, lad? Going by your lack of clothes, I'm guessing I caught you in the middle of catching some Z's. Late night? Oh, to be young again. I brought you some coffee. Good Lord, did he bring some coffee. What do I owe this visit to, Uncle Chuck? Uncle Chuck? Where I'm from, they call me Uncle Fuck. I wanted to check in on you, see how you're adjusting to things. For one, how's the new bachelor pad treating you? I see you still haven't found the hidden cameras. What? Hidden cameras? Ah, you should see the look on your face, lad. I'm kidding. There's no cameras, that I know of, at least. Wouldn't put it past Kathy to have Warren install a few, though. She's a bit of a voyeur, if you couldn't tell from the way she conducted the show a couple of weeks ago. Heh, good one. Note to self, do an internet search on how to look for hidden cameras. Anyway, the apartment. It's to your liking? To be honest, I'm loving it. It's huge. It's nice to be able to stretch your legs without needing to go out. I'm glad you feel that way. Plus, you may find the extra space useful if you're called on to entertain some of our clientele in the future. That's part of my job description? Oh, of course. This isn't the kind of job you put down when you leave the workplace. It will occasionally bleed over into your personal time. That's not a problem, is it? No, that's fair, considering what you're paying me. Good, because like it or not, you're part of the family now. You're stuck with us. You haven't found anything weird, have you? The lad who had your job before you, Darius, used to live here as well. Before he suddenly disappeared on us, that is. We tried to clean the place up, but you may find some of his personal effects laying around. If you do, just throw them away. What if he comes back looking for him? Oh, he won't. I mean, seriously, what lad your age walks away from an all-you-can-eat pussy buffet? I'll never understand rich kids like Darius, or my nephew even. I suspect you feel the same way. After all, you and I are cut from a similar cloth. A similar cloth? Your entire family's loaded. Not true. My sister and I came from meager beginnings, actually. She married into money, and as you know, I came into my fortune the honest way. All those snobby assholes you meet growing up were on my brother-in-law's side. I see. I guess I always figured that Ian's whole family was rich. Anyway, as I was saying, lads like Darius, who've never done without, they take things for granted. They don't have the proper appreciation for the good fortune that falls into their laps. That's another reason I'm glad to have you. God knows that August needs at least one person besides himself with a good head on his shoulders. That sounds like a pretty low bar, but I'll take that as a compliment, I guess. Bah! Ha ha! Take it as you will. It's only the truth. Getting into the main reason I popped in this morning. Dr. Chuck placed a hand on my shoulder and gave me an uncharacteristically serious look. I just want to communicate to you. If you ever have anything bothering you or giving you trouble, club-related or otherwise, my door is always open. Just like your old policy for the physics club, huh? Well, minus the rich underground sex parties. Exactly, lad. If you ever need anything, I'm here to help. Thanks, Uncle Chuck. I may take advantage of that one day. That's all I wanted to say. I'll stop taking up time from your precious summer break. I need to get to the club anyway. There's a little fire I need to put out. Anything I can help with? I'm not really engaged in anything right now, so... Oh no, lad. Thanks for offering, but there's nothing you can do. One of the girls got a little spooked making a house call last night. I'm gonna talk her down from the ledge, so to speak. Oh, I decided not to ask any more details about the situation, not wanting to be privy to any information that might destroy my currently rocky acceptance of the club. Thanks again for the coffee, then. No problem, lad. You take care now. And remember, my door's always open. Dr. Chuck let himself out. Is this going to be the norm from now on? People showing up unannounced? Now what should I do today? Oh yeah, Felicia wanted to take me out to dinner and I agreed. She didn't tell me a time or place though. I should give her a call and get the details. Later that night, I arrived at the restaurant. It wasn't too far from my new apartment, so Felicia and I made plans to meet inside. The second I laid eyes on the building, panic set in. The kind of panic that follows once one becomes acutely aware of being out of place in an unfamiliar location. I am so underdressed for this place. Can I help you, sir? Yeah, I'm meeting someone here tonight. We have a reservation. The maitre d' gave me a not-so-subtle look over before returning her eyes to her computer. Name of the reservation, please? Ford, I guess. You're telling me you're a guest of Miss Ford? She said it with such deference and a particular, incredulous-like emphasis that I began to doubt we were speaking of the same woman. Yeah, Felicia Ford? Sir, if it's not too much trouble, would you mind waiting in the garden until Miss Ford gets here? It's our policy not to seat guests until the full party arrives. Huh? That sounds like an odd policy. Oh, I get it. She doesn't want me stinking up the place. Ahem! The sound of a woman clearing her throat brought my attention to a figure that had evidently snuck up behind the maitre d' while we were conversing. It was Felicia. Looking stunning in a daring black little number. Because of course she did. Really? I had no idea Nicholas had updated restaurant policy since the last time I had guests. When was that again? Just a week ago, I think. Miss Ford, I didn't know you had arrived. Oh, I snuck in the back to give my regards to the chef. The maitre d' was at a clear loss of words, and she began to fidget uncontrollably under Felicia's scrutinizing gaze. It was a look at odds with a capricious image I had developed in my mind of the blonde beauty. I'm so sorry, I didn't think... You didn't think I'd catch you making my nephew wait outside while you snuck away to confirm if he actually belonged? Nephew? Or did you not think being a snooty bitch would come back to bite you in the ass doing your hospitality job of all things? I'm so sorry, Miss Ford. Please don't tell Chef Nicholas. I really didn't mean... I don't really think I'm the one you should be apologizing to in this situation. Oh, right. I'm sorry, sir. The maitre d' turned to me and offered an apology made under duress in a bid for self-preservation. Due to secondhand embarrassment, a part of me oddly sympathized with the woman. We can just put it all behind us, okay? I'd like to sit down and eat soon. I'm starving. I decided to defuse the situation instead of making things more awkward. Well, you heard the man. Is our table ready? Oh, if you'll just wait here a moment, I'll go make sure your table is set. You do that. Felicia made room for the Mantra D to scurry by until it was just the two of us remaining in the reception area. Sorry about that, Stud. I hope I didn't embarrass you too much. That kind of attitude just pisses me off. It was kind of cool, actually. Can't say I've ever had a beautiful woman stand up for me like you just did. You practically had her shaking in her heels. Felicia leaned in and turned her head, inviting me to politely kiss her cheek. Well then, how about a kiss for your hero? Sliding my hands around Felicia's waist, I planted a chaste kiss just below her eye. You look great tonight, by the way. Thanks, Grim. You could have given me a heads up about wearing something a little more appropriate, though. I was bound to look out of place anyway, but now next to you, I'm going to look like an absolute slob. Oh, you look fine. I've had enough of men in penguin suits to last a lifetime, trust me. You really know the chef here? I know a lot of people in this city. Too many. Hell, I knew Kathleen even before Ian told me about the club. Well, not personally, but I saw her speak once at a fundraiser for her dead sister's charity. You gotta be kidding me. You could imagine how fucking surprised I was about seeing her pimping girls at a cat house. You know her husband's a judge? You know, as much as it should, that doesn't surprise me. Miss Ford and party, if you'll follow me right this way. Just then, as our conversation was starting to meander, the Mantra D reappeared and invited us into the dining room. By the way, just a heads up. Tonight, at least while we're having dinner, treat me like a lady. As in, don't get too handsy. Unlike Circus, I'm pretty well known here. Felicia's words reminded me of the bitter fact that she's a married woman. Right, appearances. We're basically just friends anyway, right? Even if we fucked around a little, that's all it was. Our little side conversation finished, we turned and regarded the patiently waiting Mantra D, who was conspicuously trying her best to not make eye contact with either of us. Good evening, Miss Ford, Mr. The cute waitress looked at me expectantly, waiting for me to fill her in on how to address me. Grim Barnes, he's my nephew, visiting from out of town. Felicia added a little subterfuge to the mix. I see. Well, welcome to the city, Grim. And welcome both of you to Il Piacere. My name is Jane, and I'll be serving you tonight. Or is it Piacere? Il Piacere? You're new, aren't you? That's right, ma'am. I started this Monday. You're certainly a cute girl. You know my nephew doesn't know anyone in town. Maybe you could show him around sometime.
The waitress began to stammer, unsure of how to reply to such a shameless suggestion from a customer.
Sorry, I'm kidding. I've got a terrible sense of humor. It's nice to meet you, Jane. You too, Miss Ford. I'm a big fan of your husband. I saw him speak at a seminar I took for my MBA program. Oh, I'll be sure to tell Elias that there's a cute waitress at Nicholas' restaurant that's dying to meet him. You sure have a colorful sense of humor, Miss Ford. Elias. Elias Ford? Sounds familiar. Where do I know that name? Or is it Elias? It's probably Elias. Elias Ford, can I start you with a nice Cabernet Sauvignon tonight? No, we'll have a bottle of Merlot, I think. You had some bottles of Petrus last week, if memory serves. We do have a couple remaining, I believe. I'll bring it right out, ma'am. Thank you, Jane. And for dinner, you'll be having a small piece of meat with a garnish. This isn't meat. It'll be like the size of it's like a portion of meat. You know how they do in these fancy, super fancy restaurants where they bring you the smallest portions of food ever. It's like, huh? That's a piece of meat. That's not a that's not a helping of meat. That's if I took a steak and cut a little piece off of it. That's how much you've given me there. Following a curt bow,
The waitress scurried off to the kitchen, leaving Felicia and I alone. So, nephew, huh? You like that? Me pretending to be your naughty aunt. I suppose we could use that to spice things up later. Oh, ho, ho, pretty confident, aren't you? Just because you got lucky once doesn't necessarily mean I'm inclined to give you a repeat performance. This is just an apology dinner for my little lie of omission, remember? Right, straightly platonic. Anyway, nephew, it's plausible enough I am older than you after all. Makes sense to me. I'll be right back. I need to hit the ladies' room. Don't go anywhere. All right, stud? Felicia got up and excused herself from the table. Now's a pretty good time to answer that nagging question of where I'd heard Felicia's husband's name before. Pulling out my phone, I fingered the keypad and typed out Elias Ford into the search engine and hit enter. Wait, what? I immediately got the answer I was looking for. Elias Byron Ford III is an American businessman and founder of EBF Talent Agency. He's best known as the great-grandson of American railway magnate Samuel Ford. He's about 44 years old, from Austin, Texas. He's 5'9". Elias Byron Ford, Iris Ford, would be the second, and of course Iris Ford. And he's got two children. And he's 5'9", guys, so... You know, oh, I can't get a woman like Felicia. I'm 5 foot. Well, he's also an American businessman, founder of EBF Talent Agency. And he's also the grandson of a railway magnate. So, yeah, maybe he had some help in that. I knew Felicia was well off, but I had no idea she was that well off. Elias Ford, while not a household name, was a man of wealth and means. I'd say wealth and power. Heir to a defunct railway fortune, he cut his teeth in the logistics division of a major manufacturing company before branching out and starting a lucrative talent agency of all things. Or that's what the internet says. What I know his name from is an initiative he personally sponsored around Moorhead Hills to lower the city's carbon footprint. He leveraged his family's history in the rail freight business, as if it was some kind of personal impetus to make a change for the better. I remember thinking he looked pretty fucking smug in those citywide ads. What am I doing mixing up with the wife of a local celebrity? More still, what's a woman like that doing wrapped up in the Carnation Club? Huh? It's a message from Felicia. Oh. Jesus, woman is shameless. Isn't that great? Got any more? Oh, you greedy, greedy boy. Hold on a second. Ah. Waiting. I scooped up the phone from the table, eager to see Felicia's next selfie. Guess it can't hurt to spoil you. This is all you get, though, for now. Nice! I wonder if that toilet is solid gold. Well, you know, the seat. If the seat is solid gold. In a rather impressive feat of dexterity, Felicia sent a selfie of her ass sticking out. You should be careful. Anyone could see that just by looking over your shoulder. Felicia! You startled the crap out of me. You're lucky it was me. What if it was poor Jane who caught you looking at porn in public? You would have blown your chances with her. I think that would have been the least of her issues, considering she would think I was looking at a nude selfie of my aunt. I see our cute waitress brought the wine already. You like wine, Grim? To be honest, I'm not a big drinker to begin with, less so when it comes to wine. This isn't half bad, though. Well, I would hope so. That's one of the best red... who am I kidding? I was more of a liquor kind of gal when I was your age. Even now, I'm not even sure I really like this stuff. But fake it until you make it, as they say. Getting blitzed on wine is pretty much part and parcel for the occupation of a trophy wife. Hear that, gentlemen? Glug, glug. It's important to fit in, you see. Felicia spoke in a facetious manner, but there was something contemplative in her words. Is trophy wife honestly how you view yourself? I've got no qualms with it. It is what I am, after all. Didn't just happen into it, either. I had to work for it. Maybe it's not something to admit in polite company, but there's no harm in being honest with you. You gotta want more out of life than just being arm candy, right? I think I've done all right for myself. Look at it this way. I'm the one treating you to dinner here at one of the nicest places in town, I might add. Yeah, but there's more to life than just comfort. For example, there's the fulfillment that comes from professional success or the joy of helping other people. Self-actualization, you mean? That's the very tippy top of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Are you familiar with that theory? Did not expect to be talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs in an adult visual novel game. These things surprise me all the time. And yes, self-actualization is at the top. I remember TFM did a video about that. Well, no, I think he actually talked about it several times on the show. Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the top being self-actualization. Most people want to have some form of self-validation. Or validation. Everybody wants to be validated for something. And personal validation, it just seems, I mean, some people... Alright. So, didn't get a lot of sleep last night, you guys might be able to tell. But basically what my tired brain is trying to sputter out here is that, you know, a lot of people don't... Well, no, that's not it. Like I said, my tired brain here. But, okay. So the top is self-actualization. It's validation, right? And a lot of people want to be validated for whatever little thing it is that they do, because that's what makes us matter. You know, the person that cleans up shit every day, right? And there is a person that does that. They want some sort of validation that they're helping people by cleaning up that shit, that people don't have to, you know, go into the bathroom and there's shit everywhere, that there's somebody that's done it. And because they do that, they feel validation from that. Okay, I made that clean. So, I mean, even somebody that does something like that. And of course, you know, healthcare workers, they get their validation from helping people. And sometimes the money is a good part of that as well. They feel that they deserve the kind of money they make because of the work they do. Now, however, because of the bureaucracy and everything that's gotten into that industry, it's been a lot more about getting money for not necessarily helping people, but basically bandaging people. It's like, we're going to give you pills and not actually fix the problem with you, because we make a lot more money by prescribing you the pills. So they make a lot more money from not necessarily the validation of helping people, but from the validation that the companies get from their pills being promoted by the doctor. They're like, okay. So that's it. I mean, like this game. People like this game, right? And the people that like this game, it gives the creator validation. Oh, you like the work I created. So, I mean, that's how I figured about my records that I've made and other things that I've done in my life, and even this channel. When people like videos and when people watch videos, that gives me kind of a sort of validation for, oh, people like this stuff. Well, I'll continue doing it. And it's not like a lot of people, but it's, you know, enough people. And of course, you know, I do pretty well on some of my videos that I put on YouTube about the comics and things. And that gives me a definite sense of validation, because I'm like, wow, all these people actually listened to me and enjoyed this. So that's pretty cool. It's not like, oh, I'm, you know, hot shit. It's just like, oh, okay, cool. These people like this. So, I mean, if it gives them something to enjoy in their life and, you know, from around the world, then why don't I continue doing it? And, you know, it's just the fact that people enjoy this stuff, that's why I'm here. If people weren't watching, I wouldn't be doing it. I mean, it's that simple. that's what kind of gives me a sense of self-actualization, where I'm just like, hey, people like what I do. I like doing it. And, I mean, yeah, it'd be cool if people did pay me, like, you know, donate or whatever. But, again, I'm not forcing people to. I'm not holding people upside down and shaking their pockets, you know, so to speak. You know, you hold them up by the pants leg and you shake, give me their money. I don't do that, you know. It's just something I know I'm going to do because I'm going to read these anyway. So I like to share them with everyone. And it also helps the person that made this game. The person that made this game. Remember, one person made this game, guys. So it gets their work out there. And they're like, oh, cool, you're sharing my work with everybody. Because they might not think their work is that great. Or you see a site like Opie Man that's promoting the heck out of it when it comes out because people really like the game. Same thing with the Turnum and a lot of the other games that we do and will do in the future because we've got so many lined up. I've got another dev that sent me, well, I was following him. I don't know if he's still following me on X or not, but he wanted me to kind of post his games and, you know, start doing his games. And they're all based in Greece. So we might do, we probably would do some of his. But yeah, guys, so that's actually the tipping point for this episode anyway. Yeah, we were pretty much over my 30 limit, so that's why I'm having a little talk here. But at any rate, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys next time with more Pale Carnations. Look forward to it. I'm out.